I want to explore this year what we actually received at Har Sinai. What was the Mam at Har Sinai, the Matan Torah experience? What did Hashem reveal to Moshe at Sinai? What Torah was not based on revelation, but based on the rulings of our Chachmei Mesorah, of our rabbinic leaders? What did Moshe teach that he heard, directly heard from Hashem? And what did later generations teach? And I think the answer to these questions impacts how we understand truth, Machlokas, and the nature of the experience of Talmud Torah. Let's begin with the Tanur Shelach Nai story, the famous Tanur Shelach Nai story, where there was this debate about this particular oven. Rabbi Lezer said the oven was Tahor, the Chachamim said it was Tameh, and the majority held that it was Tameh. Rabbi Lezer produced all these miracles. He said, if the halacha is like me, then this carob tree shall prove that I'm right, and the carob tree was uprooted, and they said, we don't paskin like carob trees. He said, if I'm correct, this is the Gemara and Bava Metzia in the New Testament Aleph, he said, if I'm right, then the channel of water should prove, and the channel of water started flowing the other direction. They said, we don't bring a proof from this. He said, if I'm right, then the walls of the basement shall prove that I'm right. Then the walls began to tip over, and Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, told the walls of the basement to not get involved with the situation, and so the walls remained in a kind of diagonal. It was like not fully straight, but didn't fall down either. In any case, Rabbi Lezer says, if I am correct, then the Shemaim, the heavens, will prove that I'm right. And the voice from heaven at Baskel came down and said, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua said, doesn't make a difference. The Torah was given at Sinai. And after the Torah was given, Lo Bashmaim, the Torah is not in heaven. And we follow the majority. And the Gemara concludes, at that time, Rabbi Nasan met Eliyahu. He said, what's Hashem doing at this point? And Rabbi Nasan and Eliyahu said, Hashem is smiling at this time, and he's saying, Nitzchuni Banai Nitzchuni. So question is, why did we not follow Rabbi Eliezer, who had the correct analysis? And why did it seem that Rabbi Eliezer had the correct analysis? And question is, why did indeed Rabbi Eliezer have the incorrect analysis? And why indeed was he incorrect? We have to try to understand these questions. On the surface, it seems that he was correct, but we don't follow him even though he's correct. And it seems that Hashem was okay with this. How do we understand this? Before we get back to the story of the Tanur Shelach Nai, we need to understand what is Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah, explains that Torah Shebaal Peh includes five categories: interpretations of the Torah, halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, derivations through midos she'atah nidreshes b'hem, through exegetical principles, gzeiros and takanos. Five different categories of Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, what are the different options? What was revealed at Sinai, and what did Chazal innovate? So I think there are three basic approaches. According to the Gaonim, had one view, and you can find this in the introduction of Sefer HaKabbalah, it's a historical work written by Ibn Daud in the Middle Ages. And he explains that essentially, the whole Torah Shebaal Peh came from revelation. Everything came from Mesorah, given down Shem to Moshe, to next generation, next generation, next generation, all the way down to Chazal. The only thing that Chazal added were, let's say, fences, the gzeros, or maybe takanos, new enactments. But in terms of interpreting the Torah, what I call the first three categories of the Rambam, interpretation of the Torah and halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and derivations through exegetical principles, these were types of Torah Shebaal Peh that they received revelation. Rabbi Talmud, all the way dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is there so much machlokes? And the Igaris Rav Shira Gaon also explains this as well. He holds like this as well, that everything came down Rabbi to Talmud. So what happened? Why was there so much machlokes? So Rav Shira Gaon writes that eventually, and he points out that Shammai and Hillel, they argued on very little. They only argued in three different places. But once the Beis Midrash was destroyed, and Beitar was destroyed, and Chazal were dispersed in all different directions because of the upheavals and persecutions, confusion at that time, the students did not receive the full instruction. Lo Shimshu, the Talmidim were not Meshamesh, did not work hard enough. Shimshu Talmidim called Sarkan, the Gemara says, and the way Rav Shira Gaon explains this, that they did not focus enough, and therefore there was machlokas. In other words, according to this first option, Machlokes came because people did not review their studies well enough. But he says they only argued on the details. Everyone agreed on the main points, but in terms of the details, they didn't review well enough. So therefore, different students thought that their Rebbe said something else. And that's the basis of Machlokes. The advantage of this approach, and the Sefer HaKdama writes explicitly, if you want to say that because the rabbi is different, a number of issues, they're going to doubt their words. He says, "Avata haki eshinav, blunt is his teeth." You should tell alpi Beistin that you should say he is rebelling against Hashem. I'm sorry, alpi Hashem, and he is rebelling against Hashem. That the Chazal only argued not on main things but only on details. They didn't argue about whether you're supposed to light Shabbos. What they argue? But with what material should they light? They didn't argue whether you're supposed to say Kriyat Shema or not. They argued what time you should recite Kriyat Shema. So they only argued on the details. Everyone agreed on the main points. The advantage of this approach is that basically, according to the Gaonim, almost the entire Torah, even rabbinic law, is divine. Everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except for everything originally came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the machlokes is based on people not hearing the shir correctly. But everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is this first approach. The Rambam, though, has a different approach. The Rambam is an introduction to Yad Chazaka. He writes the following. He says that everyone, the Rambam in his introduction says that from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so every generation, the head of the basin or the Navi in that generation wrote to himself what he heard, and he would teach this to the masses, and then everyone would write to himself according to his ability, Meber HaTorah Mihilchoseh Kamo Sheshama. According to this, everyone would write basically what he thought what the Torah said, according to the explanation of the Torah, according to his koach, from the explanation of the Torah and from the achos that he heard. Umidvarim shenishchad shibachol dover dor b'dinim shalimdu mipi hashmua el b'mida mishlosh esrei midos v'iskim alein basin agada. So the Rambam says explicitly that the leaders of every generation would also write for himself about new ideas in every generation that he didn't learn based on tradition, but based on application of the 13 exegetical principles, and that was determined by the High Court. The Rambam says explicitly that not all Torah Shebaal Peh actually came from Sinai. The methodology, how to interpret the Torah, came from Sinai, but the actual halachos of Torah Shebaal Peh, many of the halachos of Torah Shebaal Peh that are based on Howie interpretation, that did not come from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. That Chazal interpreted based on their own understanding. And he says that if someone thinks, he says, Misha Chashash Gardim Shishpa Machlogos Kibla Moshe, but someone who thinks that, this he writes in his Hakdama to the Mishnah, someone who thinks that the Halachos that have a machlokas he received from Moshe, of nafal have machlokas machmas tos, bekabolo shichon, you think that there was major machlokas, he's saying, if you think like the Gaonim, that there's major machlokas because someone wasn't paying attention and they didn't hear what the Rebbe said, on tradition, but the Rebbe, in other words, the machlokas led to a lack of, like a broken telephone as to what the Rebbe said. V'shechad tzorek bekabolos, v'shedit tzor bekabolos, so one person heard the right halacha, and someone else did not hear the right halacha, or sheshachar that he forgot. And he says that this is wrong. This is maguna muzumah. This is very strange. How can it be if someone's not paying attention, they're going to get the whole Masorah wrong? That there's so much machlokas because of this? That we're so concerned that someone forgot what the Rebbe said? He said, rather, what happened? He's saying that because people had machlokas, so the Rambam says that when people, perhaps, some people may not have studied as well as others, that doesn't mean that they didn't hear what the Rebbe said. If maybe they didn't apply themselves as much, Lashim Shukol Tzarkon means that they maybe did not use, they not work hard enough to develop their skills and their analysis, and that's why they had differing opinions. In other words, according to the Rambam, the methodology was transmitted, and it's up to the Chachmei Mesora to interpret and innovate. Logical, the weakness, let's say, the Loshim Shekol Tzarkon, did not lead to forgetfulness. It may have led to perhaps some lack of logic, or they didn't fine tune their skills. Their analytical skills were a little weak because they didn't work hard enough. But it's not that it didn't lead to forgetfulness of the revelation of the Mesora. And so the Rambam, according to the Rambam, this can explain why there's so much machlokes. There's so much machlokes because Torah, not every halacha was given from Hashem to Moshe. He only gave some halacha to Moshe Mitzrayim, and he taught them the principles. And maybe there were certain explanations that were based on revelation, but a lot of Torah Shepeb was based on individual leaders of our Mesora trying to understand what the Torah is telling us through these methodological principles. And there's most of Torah Shebaal Peh is made up of human beings trying to understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what God wants from us. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Mishnah points out, Ki Shnei Anashim, there could be two people. Shem Shavim Ba'avana, they're both of equal understanding of Iyun and reasoning, of Diyas HaKlali, and knowledge of principles. He says, Lotia Beineha Machlokes, Mashalomi Ba'achas Hamidas B'shun Panim. They rarely disagree when deriving laws through these exegetical principles. And if they're going to argue, it's going to be a small amount of argument, because these Kamoshalomatsina Machlok ben Shaman Hill Halochas Achados. Shaman and Hill themselves only differ in a few laws. The Fisha Darki Lemudim Bachoma Shall Yulomdim also Abachas Amidas Haikrom Zelzeh, because their methods of study were very closely aligned to each other. Next generation, perhaps people did not study the same, or perhaps they weren't sharp enough in terms of their analysis, and that's why they argued. But according to Rambam, very different than the Gaonim. According to the Rambam, what was received at Sinai was some halacha, obviously Torah Shivaksav, some halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, and methodology, principles on how to interpret the Torah. There's a third option, though, in the school of the Ramban. So the Ramban has a line when the Torah says in Parshas Shoftim, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that you should listen to the rabbis, Lo Tasur Mikol She Yomu L'Chal Yamin Osmol, don't deviate from them, right or left. So he has a line where he says that Ki Ruach Hashem Al, why should you listen to the rabbis? Ki Ruach Hashem Al Mishor Se Mikdashov Lo Yazov Es Chasidav, that Hashem's spirit rests upon those who serve in his Mikdash. There's the High Court, the Beis Hanagada was in the Mikdash, and Hashem will not leave his chasidim, those his pious people. Lolam nishmu minatos min mechshel. They're always guarded from mistake and from stumbling block. And there's Hashem, what they say, what the Beis Hanagada says, is correct. Because Hashem guards them from making a mistake. And the Ritva in Ervin Daf Yud Gimel, on his commentary on Ervin Daf Yud Gimel Beis, when he, on the Gemara there, says that both the opinions of Beisham and Hillel are Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Both of them are the words of the living God. So the Ritva cites that the French rabbis asked, how can this be that both of them, with respect to both of them, they both reflect the words of the living God. Zeh osir, zeh matir. One says permitted, one says forbidden. But here's when they answered. Ki kishala Moshe lamarom lekabel Torah. When Moshe ascended to Shemaim to receive the Torah, Herilah kol davar v'davar, mem tem panim le'isur, mem tem panim le'heter. Shem showed him 49 ways to find something forbidden, 49 ways to find a way to make it permitted. V'shala kach baruch hosan. Moshe asked Hashem, how is this? So Hashem said to Moshe, listen, there are legitimate ways to say this is forbidden and legitimate ways to say this is permitted. And the sages of every generation are going to decide, and we're going to follow them. The idea is that there are different legitimate perspectives that were transmitted at Sinai, and we just follow the majority. In fact, the Drushas Haran writes in Drush Zion that Hashem taught Moshe Dikduke Torah v'Dikduke Sofrim. Now, what are Dikduke Sofrim? What does it mean Hashem taught Moshe Dikduke Sofrim? He says, Heim ha-machlokes v'chiluki ha-sfer shevin chachi Yisrael. He taught Moshe the machlokes, the arguments, and the different rationales among the Chachmei Yisrael. V'chulam limdu Moshe m'pi ha-gvura, and all them Moshe learned them from God, below hachra, kol machlokes v'machlokes v'pra. With that, he learned all the different arguments, all the different positions of Chazal that were going to come up without any resolution. And so what's the resolution then? Says the Drush HaTaran, Achri Rabban Hatos, you follow the majority. So what's the difference between these three schools of thought? The first school, the Gaonim, which is one truth, and that was given down, and all Torah Shabbat was given down, except for just Xeros and Takanos. Moshe, the Rambam, which says that just given these methodological principles, that's what Hashem passed down, and the Chachmei Yisrael would try to figure out what the answers, try to figure out through their analysis what the Torah is saying. And the third option is the school of the Ramban, the Ritva, the Ran, that Hashem gave Moshe multiple perspectives, legitimate perspectives, and up to the members of each generation to decide what's correct. So a practical example, perhaps, to distinguish between these three approaches is, let's say, the first Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, where Hashem said to Moshe, or Hashem told us in the Torah, you're supposed to recite Kriyat Shema, the nighttime Kriyat Shema, B'Shachvacha. So there's a three-way machlok, there's a three-way debate in the first Mishnah in Brachos. What is B'Shachvacha? One opinion is you have until the first third of the night to recite Kriyat Shema. Second opinion is you have the whole night to recite Kriyat Shema. And the third opinion is you have until midnight to recite nighttime Kriyat Shema. So what did Hashem actually tell Moshe at Sinai? According to the Gaonim, Hashem told Moshe one of these three opinions. And at some point, people forgot exactly what Hashem told Moshe. In other words, there were different opinions as to what Hashem told Moshe. Hashem told Moshe one thing, one answer. What's B'Shachvacha at night? What time do you have until? But at some point, the different people had different opinions on what actually Hashem told Moshe. According to the Rambam, Hashem basically told Moshe, B'Shachvacha Kumecha, now you figure it out. And the Chachmei Mesorah tried to figure it out, and they had different opinions as to what B'Shachvacha meant. The Ritva, according to the Ritva, his third school, is that Hashem told Moshe, B'Shachvacha Kumecha, and he told them multiple ways to understand what this means, each one being legitimate. What's the nafka mina? What's the practical difference between these different approaches? Number one, is there one truth or are there multiple truths? According to the Gaonim and the Rambam, there's one truth. According to the Ritva, school of the Ramban, there are multiple truths. If we go back now to the story of the Tanur Shel Achnai, according to the Gaonim and the Rambam, Rabbi Lezer was objectively correct. And in fact, when Hashem said, Nitzchuni Banai, what's he saying? What's Hashem saying? Yeah. Rabbi Lezer was objectively correct. This is how I understood whether this oven should be Tameh or Tahor, but it doesn't matter. Once Torah is Lo B'Shamayim Hi, we don't always follow what may be objectively correct, what Hashem had in mind in Shamayim, but we follow the majority, even if it's not the Emes. And the Sefer Chinuch writes this in Mitzvah Taf Tzadivav. It says that Achar Shehem Noti Miderach HaEmes, Rabbi Lezer, Hu Hayah Mechavim Bazel HaEmes, says explicitly that when Hashem said Nitzchuni Banai, that even though that they deviated from the way of the truth, the rest of the Chachamim, because Rabbi Lezer was Mechavim to the Emes, but they're coming based on the fact that Hashem commanded them to listen to the Rov, to the majority. So therefore, you have to follow Kidivrayim, like the words of the rabbis who argued with Rabbi Lezer, Shetia HaEmes Naderas, even though the real truth will be hidden. And that's what it means. The Bala Emes says, Nitzuach. In other words, that even though the owner of truth was defeated. That's the way the Sefer Chinuch understands the story. The Maariz Chaya, so the way he understands Nitzchuni B'nai Nitzchuni, he says from the words Netzach. That, what does it mean? That they demonstrated that Hashem's Torah is Netzach, is eternal. We follow Achrei Rabban Lahatos. So according to this, Hashem's not saying that he was defeated. He's saying that Achrei Rabban Lahatos, that won out. That the Nitzchius of the Torah, which says Achrei Rabban Lahatos, that wins out. Hard to know exactly which approach Maariz Chayos works with, but the Marsha in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Testament Beis, he says Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai. He says a double lashon. He says on both sides that both those who say Tame is correct and those who say Tar is correct, because either one is correct, and that seems to follow the school of the Ritva. If there is one truth, so why do we study rejected halachic opinion? So the Nesivos Samishpat in his Hakdama explains that we study the rejected view to help better understand the truth. Sometimes if you know another opinion and why they disagree with, let's say, what you think is the truth, it still helps you understand the truth better. How can there be multiple truths, though? Like, how can there be multiple truths? So the Yamshil Shlomo, in his introduction to Maseches Bava Kamma, he actually says, based Kabbalistically, there are different ways that we can sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Kol neshamos hayu b'har Sinai." All the neshamos were at Har Sinai. "V'kiblu derech memtes sinoros," like 49 different, I guess, pipes, ways to receive Hashem's tradition, to hear from Hashem. These are the kolos. These are the sounds which they heard and which they saw. And what does it mean that they saw the kolos? Different opinions. Everyone saw kol echad ra derech tinor shelo lefi hasaga. So everyone sees a vision of the divine according to their understanding. And this is very connected to the idea of Kabbalah. The different parts of Hashem were revealed to different people. You have 10 different sefirot, different ways to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah, in a sense, is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like there are different sefirot, different ways to perceive Hashem. So too, there are different ways to perhaps perceive his Torah as well. And perhaps this machlokes, really, let's say between the school of the Rambam and the school of the Ramban, between the mystics and the rationalists, really reflect in a debate in what our responsibility is to study Torah. Is our job to uncover the truth, say the school of the Ritva, or is our job, or the Ramban, or is our job to create truth, which is the Rambam? Right? Is Torah a work of art? Because everyone sees the Torah, everyone sees the halacha in a different way. Just like you see, I think this piece of art is more beautiful, and you think this piece of art is more beautiful. You interpret it this way, interpret it that way. Is Torah like a work of art? Right? Multiple perspectives. Or is it a mathematical system? Is most of the Torah Shebaal Peh from Hashem, or is most of it from us? And again, I think there is this rationalistic, mystical divide. Rav Chaim Navon explained, he brought the Tana Devei Eliyahu, Zuta, in Parsha Beis, where he explained, he brought the source and explained that the Torah serves as the material for human creation. Because he brought this Midrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a kav of chitim, he gave us wheat. He didn't give us flour. He gave us wheat, and we have to turn that wheat into flour. The Torah serves as a raw material for human creation, and man must develop the Torah in the direction that seems right to him. And also in an article that he wrote, he not only explained this in this light, he also brought a comment that the Ramban made in his Akdamah to Melchamas Hashem, and he says that we all know that regarding disagreements, there are no absolute proofs. There are no irrefutable objections. Meaning, Chazal can provide multiple answers which seem equally valid, because no one knows 100% that they're 100% correct. So we have the raw materials. Hashem gave it to us to try to figure out what the best approach is. However, the mystical approach, the school of Ramban, views our enterprise of Talmud Torah as trying to find divinity in the world. The more legitimate perspectives there are, and the more that we uncover, the more we sense Hashem's presence in this world. Rav Kook, in a number of places, talks about the unity of opposites, where he says if you have different opposing perspectives and you study both of them, he explains that you can achieve, you can enlighten, you can understand more. The more that you study, even if you have two opposing positions, they actually harmonize to find a deeper truth. He writes this in Orot HaKodesh. The Michtam Melio has a principle about this, that he says when Chazal say two different opinions in Inyanei Agada, that they're coming from different angles, different perspectives. He said it with respect to Agada. But Rav Kook would apply that also to Halacha. And the Hakdama, in the Hakdama of the Aruch HaShulchot, the Choshe Mishpat, he says all the disputes between the Tanaim, Amoraim, and the Gonim, and the Poskim, they're Divrei Elokim Chayim. And they're all Yesh Panim Balacha. They're all different sides of the Halacha. He says, Zo and Adraba, Zoi Tiferes Torah, Sein HaKdosh HaTorah. This is the beauty of our Torah, Holy Torah. V'chol HaTorah Kula Nikrei Shira. The Torah entirely is called a Shira. It's like a song. And what's the beauty of the song? Kishakos Meshunim Zem, is that when the sounds are different from each other. And that Ikar Nehani'imus. And this is the beauty of the song, when they're actually a little bit different. And he goes on to say that when you go through the sea of the Talmud and then you see all the different sounds, they're a little different from each other, and you see the beauty of the Torah. The more that you sense, the more that you see legitimate perspectives, you actually see a greater truth and you sense Hashem's presence in the world even more. This is Rav Kook says, that when we think of the word shalom, we say, you know, when the Rav Kook uses this model to explain Chazal's statements that Tamid Chachamim marvim shalom ba'olam. What does it mean that Tamid Chachamim, they increase shalom in the world? It doesn't mean peace. It means they increase shleimut. And shleimut can be achieved only when different perspectives are considered. The more that you study, the more that you create this deeper understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way Rav Tamir Granot explains, when he explains Rav Kook's thought, he has a line where he says, the existence of these oppositions does not constitute an internal contradiction within Rav Kook's thought, but an expression of the fact that perfect unity will be attained specifically through the harmonious coexistence of opposites, not by the nullification of one of them. In sum, when we think about our Mesorah, and even we ourselves are learning, it's a tremendous opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God gave us, to partner with Him in this world to create Torah, or it's a tremendous opportunity to search for and uncover divinity in everything, and to come closer and closer to understanding the Emes in His complete totality, thereby connecting further with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Three different approaches, but I think at least two of them reflect this dispute about how we see the world, a rationalist approach, a mystical approach, with some of the practical ramifications that not practical, but conceptual understanding of how we actually view the study of Torah.